Welcome back, Red Pills, to the Matrix Online Revisited Podcast. I am Vesuvius, and this is our 12th episode of our speculation podcast series, The Original Matrix 4, where we discuss the Matrix Online storyline and speculate as to what story elements might make it into the upcoming Matrix 4. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast for notifications on upcoming episodes. We're on Spotify, iTunes, and we're hosted at anchor.fm. Also, follow me on Instagram, as that's a hub for my online exploits. I've got daily Matrix content there, as well as links to my YouTube channel and my Etsy shop, where I've got some cool real-world Matrix Online items, like beta t-shirts, beta hats, and the upcoming Burning Eye t-shirt, as well as some other cool things I've put together. But for now, enjoy Chapter 12. Anything else before we get into 12-1?
Well, I think what I was saying towards the end of the last conversation was just that at the end of the, I believe the 11.3 cinematic was just the whole thing with like Ghost and Niobe at the terminal, right?
Oh, yeah. And he saw, wake up, Neo.
Right. Wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go back and rewatch that. Is there anything relevant in there besides just the thing with Ghost and the speculative relationship?
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're going to go move on to 12 so we can go there. I just wanted to, you know, bring that up, that that's where we left off, because I think it's okay. A nice little clue to where this is going for those who played Enter the Matrix anyway.
Celibacy is a hands-on job.
Big facts.
I got a good memory for some things. Okay, so chapter 12.1. The Golden Code Trinity appears sentient. Hellion and Tessa Rova oligarchs both arrive in downtown. It is implied that the Golden Code is Trinity, and she is tracked by Ghost, the Merovingian, and the oligarchs. The Merovingian searches for the oligarch hideout inside the Matrix. Okay, so Starshwar, thoughts on 12.1 and this development with the Golden Code and Trinity?
What a huge plot twist to drop so late in the story. Even ignoring the fact of, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, just at this point, chapter 12, Morpheus long dead, kind of back as a program, kind of not. Neo missing, presumed dead. Oracle dead. Trinity alive. That's a big one. And not only alive, that she has been the MacGuffin the oligarchs have been after, and Danielle Wright and all this for a good while now, that the big MacGuffin, it wasn't, you know, case full of superpowers. No. Movie character alive, and with a huge revelation about just what exactly she was that completely recontextualizes one of the most important characters in the movies. That's a bold choice.
Okay, so I got to question you on your choice of words. I had a different interpretation, but you're saying Trinity, the movie character, is alive. So my interpretation was that this was a copy of the code that was inside Trinity, but you're saying she's alive. What do you mean?
I am taking this to mean, again, going on some hazy memories here, I am taking this to mean that the Trinity we knew in the Matrix trilogy, although having a human body, was in fact the biological interface program, but was unaware of this, was given the belief that she was a human being. And that when her body perished in Revolutions, I'll remind you, the machine program that would later become the Assassin got in trouble for doing something to Trinity's body, we don't know what. I believe that it was harvesting her very RSI, her mind, her brain, whatever, and bringing it back into the Matrix, and this interface between human and machine is what makes her so important. And furthermore, it also makes her unwittingly another part of the architect's control. I believe that Trinity is and always was a program.
Okay, so Lazarus, your thoughts on this development with Trinity?
Well, this is why I really love this conversation first and foremost, because, you know, we're talking about the Matrix 4 And I know a lot of people, including myself, when it was first announced, going back to just the movie Revolutions and saying, okay, Neo is Neo, number one, and Neo dies inside of the Matrix. So bringing back the one isn't necessarily a complicated thing in the Matrix universe. But hey, wait a minute, Trinity died in the real world, so this can get murky. How are we going to explain this? But then we come to the Matrix Online, and here we have Trinity, and we already see her. So bringing her back is not only not crazy, but it already happened to a certain degree.
That
Now, hey, go ahead. Well, you go ahead, Star Shore.
no, you're on a roll. Go for it.
So no, so all right, so we have that now in terms of my interpretation of it, because of it being a while, and like I said, my gameplay at that time was real choppy, but they had her image in the cinematic, so we see that it's her. And when I go back and remember how I used to try to explain or understand what Neo was back then, like I said, my first kind of idea was based on the Matrix comic, the Paul Chadwick Let It All Fall Down. My first idea was that Neo was AI within the AI, and that's what made him unique. But then I began to understand more the role of the Oracle. And once we come to the Matrix Online, now we have this biological interface program, the BIP, and we have Trinity, but not Neo. And what's funny is because of the whole Smith is the one debate and going back and forth with people about their ideas of that and how people say, okay, it's Smith because of X, Y, and Z. And I say, well, hey guys, you have to put Trinity in this equation because the Oracle clearly says that Trinity will fall in love with the one. And then the architect tells Neo that he is different from his predecessors, specifically because of his love for Trinity. And again, with the Matrix Online BIP bio interface program situation, it appears to me that she is a part of what Neo was, and that they are half of the same whole, equaling the one. But in both cases, that makes them programs or artificial intelligence in a human body with a human host, born unaware that they are programmed.
I agree with the mechanics of what you're describing there. I don't know if it means Thomas Anderson was like that. I like to think that he was, well, again, look at the name, Biological Interface Program. She is a program that interfaces with biological matter. I think, again, you say they're two halves of a whole. I'm going to take that a step further with the name Trinity, going into some heavy religious things there, that maybe the one isn't literally one, but it's some combination of Neo and Trinity and X,
Smith. I'll say in this
maybe
conversation, yes,
Smith.
I would say X is Smith for the very simple line of thanks, or you would know, mom, or the mom line, basically.
And Oracle's mother of the Matrix, so she's kind of everyone's mother,
Yes,
maybe.
and I always default to that. I defaulted that in the video about Agent Smith being the one, but for the purposes of this conversation, because I believe that there's more than one Trinity in the Matrix trilogy, but the one that we're specifically talking about, I would assume that Agent Smith is the X factor.
Well, again, the movie start again when you look back. First character we really meet is Trinity being chased by Smith, and then again they're all together on the hovercraft at the end of Revolutions, where Neo sees him. There's something to it. I don't. Again, we don't have all the pieces here. I don't think we were ever meant to have all the pieces, but again, going way back to how this relates to Matrix 4, Carrie Ann Moss is back. Trinity, or a version at least of Trinity, is back thanks to these developments. That's given me the most hope of all that Emmick says canon, because if you need an explanation for how she's back, they already wrote one. It happened. And that's delightful to me. That's like my biggest thing to latch onto from all these developments of how they can be back. And again, I'm sorry, one more about the movies. Back and Reloaded. Architects like, you chose love over humanity, and you gotta choose which door to go to. But he was playing the long game. She was his ace in the hole. It was an illusion of choice, and that's awesome.
The only detail I was going to throw in was that I thought that maybe she was a human that was, you know, a potential red pill that was overwritten, similar to how the
Yes.
blue pills and the cryptos was overwritten. Now, having that detail, and you know, again, that's up to interpretation. At this point, we may not have that definitive piece of the puzzle, but I actually want to carry on with you guys going back and forth, and then maybe apply it to what we think might happen in the Matrix 4.
We don't know when Trinity became the biological interface program. There's obviously a human body involved. We saw it in the real world. Maybe she's overwritten at some point in childhood. Maybe she's overwritten at some point after taking the red pill like Kryptos. We don't know that. But there's a line in that cinematic, the very last cinematic, spoilers, but in 12.1, where Ghost finds the biological program and it's Trinity, and she says to him, "I didn't know." Just three simple words that spell that there's so much to pull out of that,
And
that she has this Cylon or replicant-like level of false memories or having lived a false life.
I
You
think
go,
that
Les.
no, I think that I didn't know that you just said that line. It speaks to the very philosophical question that I was going to ask. I mean, you know, because I said the word program, but I'm using it loosely just for the sake of this conversation. I mean, you know, when we're talking about artificial intelligence and sentient beings and programs that can think for themselves and that want to live. Okay, so now we're having this in the transcendence conversation, or what is consciousness? I mean, if something was written by the Oracle but born human and always knew itself as human, it has a human body and always related to the human experience and did not know that its consciousness was originally born from, something other than a human being. I mean, is it not a human being? Is it just a hybrid? Is it just a program? I mean, this is really, I think the kind of what is consciousness debate that, we can go on and on and on about.
And again, also going way back, Matrix Revolutions, Neo in the train station, meets Ramachandra, Sati, and whatever Sati's mom's name was. And he's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 programs can fall in love?" And Persephone's fascinated by love, and he's in love with Trinity. And that altogether is what makes him come up with this notion of peace. Like, well, if they can love, there can be peace. But again, if that was all planted, going the sinister route, inadvertently by Trinity following some subconscious subroutine. Okay, what I'm getting is there's so many ways this can be interpreted. There's no right answer. There's too little information to have a right answer.
And then I always go back to the power of the Oracle's cookies, because is it a pre-programmed subroutine or is it simply the power of suggestion?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was straightforward control.
One of you two had this great analysis that Morpheus ate a cookie in one of the cinematics before he died, and that might be how the general was able to create such an accurate copy of Morpheus. So maybe at some point, Trinity ate one of those, and that's where the interface program came from. It definitely has her memories up to a certain point. No, it has her memories up to her death, because when you right-click the NPC, the gold code and details, the description are the exact things words she says when she sees the sky above the clouds. So
Well,
it
my
had to
thing
have.
is this. We don't know. Remember, Morpheus wanted Neo's remains. We don't know where that flatbed hovercraft took Neo's body, and Trinity crashed in Machine City too, so we don't know what they did with her body either.
We know that the assassin did something it wasn't supposed to and got marked for deletion real fast. We do know that.
So could he have potentially, taken her brain and scanned
Yeah,
her last EKG waves?
I believe it inserted a cranial jack into her skull and backed up everything that was still
Yep,
there.
download.
It's like, oh, dead human, better back this up.
Say, I know Trinity.
Yeah, now he was at the time working for the Merovingian, I believe, or was he maybe going rogue for himself? Now,
You're saying he went exile before it became Flyman?
I'm more asking because I do think that the Merovingian is very capable of taking these machine programs and kind of having them under his employ like a dirty cop, and then
And
told
also, oh,
because
you finish.
what because wasn't he working for the Merovingian when he first entered the Matrix and was before he killed Morpheus?
You're blowing my mind on this. I
Well,
always
I'm
interpreted it as he was machine programmed with physical form, did something it wasn't supposed to, marked for deletion, goes to Matrix, is offered employment by the Merovingian.
in
If you're
exchange
saying the Merovingian turned it before that, that's really interesting. I never even considered that possibility,
Well, I've
that he's
always associated him with
corrupting.
Merovingian.
He definitely, once he showed up in the Matrix, he was with the Merovingian until he went too far and started corrupting everything. But
See, these are the subtle aspects that I got to go back to our conversation in those first couple of chapters and see how it goes and see if the thoughts I'm having now are actually applicable.
here's a theory. I mean, since we brought up Sadie's parents earlier, because Sadie's parents knew to go to the Merovingian for help. Okay, so it's known in the machine world that, hey, if you want to do something, if you want to keep your situation going, the Merovingian who's you need to contact. So let's speculate, or what if the assassin, when it was still just a recycling program or just a machine, did whatever he did to Trinity, was marked for deletion, and knew that he had something to barter with the Merovingian if he came back through the Merovingian.
Okay, now
I
just to
like that.
piggyback off of that, we talked before about the assassin having some kind of relationship with Ramachandra.
Right, because if I remember correctly, Ramachandra said he was responsible for the disposal of dead bodies or the
Right, recycling
recycling.
systems manager or something like that.
Yeah, and that's what the assassin also seemed to do. It had some aspect, it controlled some aspect of decay and deconstruction. That's why it manifests as flies. That's why it hangs out on a garbage barge. Are we 100% sure it isn't Ramachandra?
It's after revolutions.
Like maybe he like made this deal with the devil to save Sati and turned into horrible fly monster to kill Morpheus and do whatever with Trinity.
Because he's in
Oh.
the Merovingian's debt.
Now, the debt was to terminate the Oracle's
The Oracle, okay.
shell, the original shell, but maybe there was maybe the Merv had a he altered the bargain.
We've gone down a rabbit hole of a Matrix Online conspiracy theory that I never thought was even possible.
Here's the thing. This has been the most refreshing thing, not just to revisit this stuff over 10 years later, but now the kind of sucky parts of the story might actually have nuance and depth that I never thought was there. The assassin might actually be an interesting character.
I feel like we discussed this thing with Ramachandra and can he be the assassin? And I don't think we came to that conclusion. I'm not saying that we ruled it out, but I'm saying we didn't come to the conclusion that he was the assassin. And I didn't. And I remember grumblings about that and some rumors back when it was, I believe, chapter 1 and 2. So I don't think that he is, but I can't exactly remember the reasons why he is not the assassin. I got to go back and revisit it again.
But for the sake of the Matrix 4 conversation, I mean, this was kind of my what I was saying earlier when we first kind of brought up the BIP, the Bio Interface Program. Like, I don't remember a specific point where they said, okay, this is how Trinity came back.
I don't think they ever got into the exact specifics of how. We just have, I know I always say it, bits and pieces of information. We know the assassin did something or other with Trinity. We know this thing remembers being Trinity. Ghost recognizes her as Trinity. And he should be the most authoritative state person on that. We'll get into that soon for Enter the Matrix purposes. But no, I don't think we know the exact mechanics of what happened or how it happened or why it happened. It's almost better that we don't.
Although I was going to say, I'm going to guess, with all of the Matrix 4 hype, that there's going to be some type of explanation in terms of, Trinity.
Oh, they can't just have dead characters be alive with no explanation. Can you imagine the outrage over dead people just being okay and you're not meant to know?
No. I'm gonna just go out here and say, I agree with you. I'm just, with the whole way that this kind of situation has developed in terms of the Matrix 4, I wouldn't be surprised if Lana's kind of just like, well, I'm just gonna do whatever the hell I want this time around.
Oh, like just that might just ignore events from other movies.
Yeah, like
Oh man, that here we are clinging to hope that this obscure video game is canon. You're saying they might go the other way and say, nah, none of the movies actually happened the way you thought they did, not even the good one. I put that in quotes. I love all of them, but I mean, yo, the one everyone loves. Oh, wouldn't it be nuts? Wouldn't it be the most nuts thing ever to have the movie start with Neo waking up on the Nebuchadnezzar? Like, well, the jump program was a lot more elaborate than we let on.
Oh,
Have some.
I'd have a complete fit because that's one of those Reddit theories where it's just a long Dallas hallucination sequence was the entire trilogy.
Just have Cypher smiling and waving.
Yeah, I was gonna say that means we get Mouse, Cypher, Tank,
Get them
Switch.
all back.
Yeah.
Get them all back. Like, okay, now that you've actually finished your training.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Cypher cameo, although that would be like one of the hardest to explain. I mean, we already talked about how Kryptos would probably replace that energy in a Matrix 4, but I just like Joe. I think he's a great actor.
I can see one way they could have a non-speaking cameo for him. His earnest wish was to become a famous actor when
Oh,
he
that
was
they just
being
plugged
certain.
his consciousness back in anyway?
Not his consciousness, but like have like some old magazine or whatever of celebrity gossip, whatever, and just have Cypher in his new guise as some has-been actor, like who had passed away some years ago. Like looking back on the filmography of whatever his name was going to be. And I assume he still wouldn't have been Mr. Reagan if they put him back.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I did read on Reddit that Joe Pants is awaiting a phone call, or there was a promise at the end of part one that they would bring him back for a sequel.
What?
Well, I read it on Reddit, man. So,
All right, okay.
I mean,
All right.
I'm hopeful, but hey, they're already bringing back dead characters, so
That
why
this is
not?
true.
Why not?
It
And
turns
he's
out.
definitely a Wachowski favorite. They plug him in wherever they can. He was in Sense8 as
Sure.
well.
Oh, was
And we've
he?
already
Cool.
got three. Yeah, he was I can't remember the one of the eight. He played
I
the dad.
never watched it. I tried first episode, just didn't do it for me. I gave up.
No, it took a couple to get into it. It had that kind of remember I called
Slow
the
burn.
HBO the Game of Thrones, the slow burn, but well, because it was so expensive, the second season really, really picked up the pace, and then like the finale is like pretty much like a movie. So, if you can get through, I'd say like the first three, four episodes, it picks up.
I might give it another shot in the future.
I was gonna
Hey.
say before the fourth one comes out, I would definitely give it a shot just because of so you could be familiar with however many actors from there they're gonna use.
Hey, I watched Iron Fist. I did my part and more.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask you about that. I haven't tried that one yet.
If you're only for the Marvel diehards, look, it's a show about a martial arts themed superhero. The fact that I don't consider it the best thing ever should be the biggest red flag. But we'll get back to that later. Where were we? Trinity.
Trinity and Ghost, do you guys want to talk about their relationship or your interpretation and speculate? And then we can talk about what might appear in the next movie.
Laz, you want to take the lead on this? Or should
Well,
I?
I mean, as you alluded to, there is in the Matrix Online, which I referenced in one of my videos, just because it shows Trinity visiting Ghost in his quarters in Zion, and he's in a rock garden training construct in his room by himself. And the significance, or I thought the importance of that in terms of, Matrix theories, is it shows that you can jack in and out of a construct or the Matrix, like Cypher did to meet with the agents, without having an operator like Tank to get you in and out. We see that, Trinity
That
just kind
is.
of meets him there and they spar with each other. But in that scene, we also see that Ghost has quite the crush on Trinity. We already know that Trinity is in love with Neo, and so does he. And he's okay with that. He accepts it, but he is definitely in the friend zone.
Well, it's a little more than that, but first things first, yes, I love that you brought up the Cypher meeting with the agent thing. That's one of my favorite, or least favorite, I guess, not really plot holes from Matrix 1. Like, just because we didn't see how he did doesn't mean he can't do that. That, and, you know, I think they actually filmed that scene to show, no, there's a little mechanism you can have on a timer or something. Back on point. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I believe Trinity and Ghost were freed from the Matrix on the same day by the same hovercraft crew, and as such, she considered them to be siblings. Ghost wasn't super happy about that.
See,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know where you got that information. That's my first thing.
Yeah,
You're just a brother vibe.
you're breaking up a little for me, Laz. Did you hear it, Vesuvius? Because if you heard it, then Craig heard it.
He's definitely breaking up, but I did make out what Lazarus is saying.
Okay, good enough. I could be wrong about them being freed on the same day. That could just be some fanon I read somewhere that got in the mix. But
No, I read that too.
their relationship was most certainly that of siblings, some sort of platonic love. Ghost really wasn't thrilled about that. We know this from Enter the Matrix, from his interactions with both Persephone and the Oracle. So he instead chose a life of celibacy because, like, well, if I can't, you know, she's my one and only, and if that's not going to be, well, screw this. So to see her there alive, you know, this, you know, not only, you know, he had grieved her for years, obviously, but not only to find out that this sister would-be lover is alive, that a huge portion of her existence was a lie that he wasn't let in on, and neither was she, apparently. And also, I want to point out that this happens in the cutscene in the presence, the secret observations of Agent Pache, who I don't think we touched on this, had a subtle kind of. She and Ghost had an almost sort of romance before the truce ended. They had worked together a few times, and their banter, there was
Some
some in,
chemistry.
yeah. In fact, I think some players had speculated that Pace was, sorry, Pache was partially based on Trinity. I never quite got that.
I never got that either, but I
Yeah, I
figured
didn't
that.
get that vibe either.
If anything, I think she's closer to bootleg Persephone. Not just the Italian, just the whole, you know, alluring appeal part of her.
Yeah.
So didn't you hook up with her, Vesuvius?
I can't talk about it, but a little bit.
I'm just saying
Craig,
that's got Persephone all over it, boy.
Craig, you're a machine. You know your duty. You're going to expunge that from the records.
Nah, we can leave it in.
No, I'm kidding, man. Yeah, I'm ki I if it happened, it happened. Good on you. But you know, Ghost. You know, actually, I actually had read. I just remember this. We joke about how his character model in the game looked nothing like the real one because he went bald for no reason. Was that, I think, was that part of a Shinto or Buddhist mourning ritual? I think I remember reading that years ago, and that
I
he did
did
that
not read
because of
anything about that.
Trinity. I could be completely wrong, and with apologies to any religious groups that I have misinterpreted.
Well, I don't think apology needed. It is, in the form of a question. It's not something I'm knowledgeable about either, but it would make sense to have an explanation for, having to change the look of a character based on rites,
And if that happened because of Trinity, and then to suddenly find out she's back, it's like I have been living my, you know, a part of his own life. This grief he's had was wrong, and you know, Ghost is one of the most even-tempered, stoic characters in the series. I imagine that if given the chance, we would have seen him take this pretty hard. Or
Well,
maybe they did. I don't remember if I had never did the Zion part of this chapter.
how about casting? Do we have anybody cast as Ghost?
I haven't heard anything on the Ghost. The closest thing we have is Jada Pinkett Smith on Niobe, but I've seen enough that says she is confirmed that, you know, the ones that are saying it's just a rumor. I mean, she's commented on it like Jada's in it, so we'll see about Ghost.
Well, she and Ghost were. You know, they were a team, so if he's not in it, we're at least going to have him mentioned. If even
Right.
if they
I feel
just
like
do the, t
they the Yeah,
the tank
exactly.
route of saying that sucks what happened to Ghost.
Right.
Like, and Ghost was such a cool character. Just all his cool scenes were not in the movies. He's sort of the Boba Fett of Matrix.
But to that point, we did not see him pass in the Matrix Online. So, you know, if
No,
there is a story about his passing, it will have happened between Matrix Online and Matrix 4.
right. Yeah, I say alive until confirmed otherwise.
And we do have, let's see. Boy, I'm a little flighty tonight. Sorry, fellas.
Nah, you're doing
I had
good.
another thought about Ghost that flew right out of my head. Okay, yeah, so it was something that the Oracle said. You know, they started passing the torch on to these, you know, not the main characters that were on the poster, to these other characters, these secondary characters. Back in Enter the Matrix, the Oracle told Ghost, if this fight continues, I hope it is led by soldiers like you, or something to that effect. And of course, he becomes basically second in command to Zion's presence in the Matrix, in the Matrix Online.
Especially during those chap that the chapter where Niobe was injured by Anom and locked in that construct.
So we have this thing with Trinity. We know Trinity's coming back, so hopefully we have Ghost. You know, that's something up until now, it's kind of, I hadn't thought about it. Like I thought about, like, Saati is pretty integral to the future of the Matrix. We don't know if she is, if anybody has been cast as Saati. Ghost so far is pretty integral to the future of the Matrix, or at least the current setting. If the end of the Matrix Online was pressing pause and Matrix 4 is pressing play, then Ghost ought to be there.
That would be the hypest thing ever. If it just starts immediately where Matrix Online left off, that would be so damn cool.
Okay, so any other thoughts?
And well, you mentioned Saati, and we were talking about casting, and since we have so many Sense 8 actors and one actress, I'm kind of holding out hope that Tina Desi or Desai, I'm not sure. But she could definitely pull off and play an adult Saati. So I'm keeping my eye out for her name, because if I see her, that's who I'm assuming she's playing 100%.
Has Saati's child actress gone on to do acting in the years since?
I think she was on one episode of The Office.
Oh, that's sad. It's a good show, but I mean, I'd hoped that might have led to a career.
Doesn't look like it.
Well, then maybe she's available for the movie.
Yeah, who's gonna say no to The Matrix 4 besides open casting for extras coming up pretty soon, fellas?
Yeah, I've actually seen. I saw somewhere on Twitter. I mean, it's Twitter, so who knows? But I saw something talking about open casting in the San Francisco area. I shared it with the guy who had a little Matrix demo that he posted. But yeah, they're already putting out the extra beacon. So. And that actress in Sense 8, her character name was Kala.
Well, again, a thing is with programs, you're not really beholden. You know, with none of these characters except freeborn humans, I guess, you're not really stuck to matching what the old actors looked like. If, you know, they have a new shell or a new RSI, that can all be hand waved. So we don't
And
have.
this is also true. I mean, you know, that's my theory on the whole Young Morpheus rumor line, but my gut's telling me that we're not done with the Sense8 cast.
I'm sure Lana isn't either. That's cool, actually, if they can sort of meld those two groups of people they worked with. And they got people from Cloud Atlas on the behind the camera, right?
Right. And since you brought it up, Bi Duna played Sun on Sense8. She was in Cloud Atlas and Jupiter Ascending.
She was in that one too, though. She's almost certainly a lock for this then.
Right? It's like if you made it through Jupiter, man.
Even I have a pretty high tolerance. I just couldn't bring myself to see that one. Should I?
I started watching it. I didn't enjoy it.
Wasn't my favorite. I mean, visually,
And
there
I
were some
haven't.
things that I thought were like, you know, big screen. I mean, I didn't see it on the big screen, but like I could see where, you know, big screen it would have looked. Basically, it looked like if the Wachowskis made an MCU movie.
All right. Now, again, I'm not trying to nitpick things I haven't even watched. If they, I just think it's very likely any previous people they've worked with are likely to return in some capacity. Hopefully, they'll at least be offered something. I think maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so the thing I think, I mean, and I haven't had a whole lot of Jupiter discussions because everybody kind of just says it's trash and leaves it alone. The thing that I did like about it is how I thought that they tried to work in the whole reptilian thing. Like, I felt like that was kind of, pop culture or aware of that conversation and just kind of threw it in there as a villain. I thought that was cute, but the overall plot, it just it. It wasn't Mila's best work, and I'm not a big Magic Mike fan, so.
I'll take your word for all of that, but also, a thing I want to point out regarding canon and so on, with Ghost's interaction with Trinity and Persephone and Enter the Matrix, is that canon? Now, roll with me on this. We know Niobe's story is canon because she explicitly references her conversation with the Oracle in Revolutions. But in that game, it's either Ghost's story or Niobe's story, or do you just take it to be that both happened? That's my interpretation of it. I feel like somehow that they're both equal.
Yeah, I always interpreted it as canon as it both happened. They shot it as part of Reloaded. It's supposed to be part of the Reloaded story. But in terms of a video game, you have to have the option to play either character. So yeah, I get where someone might say, well, really, Ghost just walked into Persephone's room after Niobe. Really, that's how it happened. But
Well, they're, you know, yeah.
for the sake of the conversation, I would consider both storylines having
So
happened.
do I. Really, the only Matrix thing I consider non-canon, definitely, would be Path of
Path of Neo,
Neo, and,
yeah.
well, specifically any part of it that contradicts the movies. The parts of it that were wholly original, I'm open to existing. Specifically, the part where Neo was waking people up in between the first movie and Reloaded, I wouldn't mind that existing, but I can't imagine that being touched upon.
12.2.
Well, hold on. Before we get to 12.2, we need to point out that we didn't get to 12.2. Around after 12.1, some point after that, Ben Chamberlain, alias Rarebit, who had been pretty much the one-man show for a few years at this point in terms of writing the game, running the events, designing the missions, he retired from work in games, and no replacement was hired on, and the game shut down a few months later. But before he left, Rarebit posted a summary of what would have happened if he were to have continued. So, as much as I want Matrix Online to be canon, and in my heart it is, I really feel that we're onto something that it is, I don't think the story summary necessarily is a list of things that happened after that, but could contain useful information that might be repurposed for the movie.
Yeah, so this was the trajectory of the storyline, and I believe the subchapters 12.2 and 12.3 were just about ready to go as we played through 12.1. So according to, say, the 6-week schedule, this next chapter would have happened. The summary lumps 2 and 3 together, 12.2 and 12.3. And then from there on, I don't believe that 13 or 14 was actually fleshed out, but it was outlined.
Again, I am basing this on nothing. I can only assume that as the further we go, the less detailed things are. I think he literally probably just stopped developing ideas when if he had found out they were pulling the plug. That's entirely speculation. That is in no way based on anything Rarebit has ever said. I think that's just the most logical explanation. That said, he did have to get approval from the Wachowskis for all his major story beats in advance. So this, I ought to consider it not canon, but it would have been, so it might be.
Yeah, I
Have it
think
both
to
ways.
piggyback on that, I would say that just because of, I don't know him personally, but the conversations that I did have and just the energy that I get from him, that, if he posted it, I think that at some level it got approved by the Wachowskis, even though it wasn't fully developed. I
Yeah,
don't think he was
that's.
just posting notes that he thought were good ideas. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Oh yeah,
I
no, I'm
got,
sure it was. I think he had to
yeah.
get in advance for the whole year of story. So, Yeah, I think you had to do that annually, so at least after Paul Chadwick had stopped being a part of it. So, I consider it was intended to be canon, whether or not it is or isn't, is or is not. I want to say no, but they could use it.
Right, I guess what I'm saying is either way, the Wachowskis saw it at some point
Yeah,
and
they
said,
saw this
"We're
as an
okay with this."
appropriate continuation of the
Right.
story at that time.
There was no veto power executed on these ideas.
Right.
Okay, so uncharted territory. So chapter 12.2 and 12.3. Hellion and the machines track Trinity. Seraph protects Trinity. Tessarova and their Merovingian team up to obtain the Trinity biological interface program. Hellion helps Tessarova capture Trinity and have a regular RSI. Of course, this isn't something that we saw. Would have been cool. Seraph organizes EPN and Cipherites to bring their halves of the program to the that the Oracle gave to them together. Okay, so Lazarus, thoughts on these oligarchs obtaining Trinity's biological interface program?
Okay, so we've spoken about Seraph before in the sense that Seraph protects that which matters most, and it says Seraph protects Trinity now. So up to this point, he's what, protecting Sati, right?
Yeah.
So
Well,
Trinity.
I'm not sure. I'm not.
Well,
We
he.
had.
Go ahead.
Sati, we know she was recovered safely from the general and the sky returned to normal. We didn't really see her since then, that I can recall, and I'll explain a little more why. I always thought, was she split into two on those disks? Maybe? Because she had been stored as a floppy disk when the general had her. Yeah, there was some really goofy stuff in this story. But I like to think that maybe as part of her secret importance, that was what the Oracle did in a way that was more stable. The thing about Sati is she was the only child character model in the game, and they got her working in the cinematics. They could not get her to animate properly in the game, so we never saw her in missions or events. We saw some messed up copies of her called spaghetti Sadis that were like horrible disfigured monsters. So I'm not sure, but it's safe to assume that if Sati was around, Seraph was protecting her. I do want to say this: there was some event late in the game, before this, where a woman appeared to Michael, the kid, and members of E Pluribus Neo, who appeared like a normal blue pill character model, delivered a message that sounded very much like it was from the Oracle, and then was confused and wandered off. So maybe Seraph's protecting some sort of ghost of the Oracle, sort of, as she tries to find her new shell, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And we'll see what happens
We
in the next
don't
subchapter.
know the process by which a program changes its shell. I do love the bit. I don't know that all that that getting Trinity would have allowed the oligarch to stop being big polygonal being and become, look human. That's cool. And again, interfaces with programs and biology.
So, yeah, my question leading up to them actually obtaining Trinity, the biological interface program, is what exactly is the purpose? Why do they want the program? Do they just want to look like everybody else in the Matrix, or is Trinity going to bestow them with some kind of Neo-like powers? They are already powerful. What do they really need the biological interface program for?
I think she's the key to immortality. I that and they've lived for seemingly hundreds of years, but one of them was dying. Carline, I think, or Halbern. One of the first two was dying, and something about the BIP is important in getting them longer lifespans. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I was thinking more of a kind of like a altered carbon where, the BIP interface gives them this kind of ability to, as in altered carbon, they called it sleeves, but this is a chance to, keep having different human bodies and you can just always
Oh,
move your
right.
consciousness over and over and over again for the rest of eternity.
If my memory about the whole AK thing is correct, with Daniel Wright jumping into his body, I think that's what happened. But yeah, maybe that's what they want out of her, that if even as their cyborg or android bodies decay, that they can just refresh themselves with a new body every once in a while. That makes
So body
sense.
jumping, immortality, pretty much makes sense as we've talked about it here.
Oh, we're
And that's
talking
what
about
I
him.
love about this because, like since The Matrix, all these different other, shows and movies have come out that, have these kind of matrixy elements, but, it all kinds of comes back to these very, when you talk about the transhumanism discussions and the technologies and where people see it going, I mean, there seems to be like this handful of ideas that everybody kind of recycles and jumps back and forth. And that the body jumping is one of them.
I got an idea. We're talking about immortality. Neo dies in the first movie. He flatlines. Trinity,
Correct. And
kisses
Trinity
him.
dies in the second one.
But yeah. Trinity seems just intrinsically linked to resurrection. That's so. Maybe there is something to that. Maybe there is some property of hers that allows revival.
Res, please.
Yes, she. She could be the avatar of Rez. I'm not even joking with this. We've seen all these other computer terms sort of personified or manifested as physical things. The Oracle's cookies. We had cheat codes. She could be Rez.
Nurse Trinity.
Also, we're again going back to the Holy Trinity idea. Resurrection's pretty important to that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And this is a very minor clue, and I've been waiting for the video that I'm going to slide this little nugget in, but been watching the Ultimate Matrix collection, one of the extras there, because you're talking about Neo coming back to life, and I was thinking about it, like I mentioned, Neo reviving her in Reloaded, but in the original Matrix, when Neo comes back and the Sentinels have already breached the hull of the Neb, Neo is still jacked inside the Matrix, right? And Morpheus has to wait for him to get out, or at least they think that they have to wait for him to get out. And in this Ultimate Matrix Collection extra, they show them actually shooting the scene, and
Oh, I know what
the
you're talking
Wachowskis,
about.
I know it. I
are
know.
giving direction, and Trinity or Carrie Ann Moss asks, well, how do I know? When do I know to pull the jack out of Neo's brain? And one of the Wachowskis, I think Lana at the time said, she knows.
Yes, I
She just
remember that.
knows. Yep.
She
She
knows
can
because
feel
she's
it.
the
She
interface
just knows.
program.
Right.
That's a good point because all like the monitors and stuff are wrecked at that point, right?
Right. She has no way to,
Oh
see
man.
this visually through technology, but she can feel it because she's
I'll do you one
special.
I'll do you one better. She yells at him and he hears her.
Yeah, that's true.
She when he's having his little
Right.
moment of, "Oh, I'm gonna have fun killing these agents." She screamed, "We don't have time for this. Get
Yeah.
out." Well, she just yells Neo, but that's the implication. He
But
can
even
hear her.
so, right, when Neo's reviving her, he says, "I know you can hear me."
Breaking up a little bit. Can you repeat?
I said when Neo is reviving Trinity, he says, "I know you can hear me."
Oh,
And he
yes.
knows because when she was talking to him in the after he had flatlined, he could hear her.
I never thought of it that way. Oh, wow.
It's cool because it's explaining the how the Matrix works, and it's not just saying, okay, love is their superpower.
Well, it is, but it's adding a sci-fi, layer to it.
It's a
Right, of how deeply they are connected.
midichlorian explanation.
Oh.
Should I edit that part out?
No, leave it in. I invoked Boba Fett. You invoke midichlorians. It's only fair.
Okay, so Seraph.
Master Qui-Gon, what are midichlorians? It's heroin.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You haven't seen that?
No.
I will link you
Yeah, you
later.
gotta send me the link for that.
So Seraph organizes EPN and Cypherites to bring together their halves of the program that the Oracle gave to them. Okay, so thoughts on this program? Because I don't think we know what the program is.
Well, I thought you were saying that it, I mean, this could be like a half, each have a half of Sati, right?
That's my best guess that it was Sati. It could be something else. It really doesn't matter because, man, I really wish the game had lasted long enough to see this play out. This most awkward meeting that could have ever happened. Because where Vale murdered Shimada, Michael's not going to just forget about that. Even if he's 100% convinced Neo would want them to do this, that's not going to end well. That meeting is going to be tense. That's going to be a Tarantino Mexican standoff. But I love that the Oracle split it up like that to the most divided ideological factions of them all. That there actually is some bizarre common ground for them to stand on. That's awesome. Also, her way of now play nice.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. It's almost, forcing the hand of peace, like, okay, you guys have to work this out for this, for me.
All right, I'm just going over these notes here and seeing if there's anything else that we want to speculate that might happen in the movie. I keep going back to Neil Patrick Harris. He could play a freeborn operator. He could play the effectuator. He could play the Merovingian. This is
Oh, man.
my thoughts, my opinion. He could play a an oligarch. He could do. I think he's capable of doing anything,
Well,
and he's got the look that he could do any of these, either. Except maybe the Merovingian's accent.
I was going to say, he's got the range for the Merovingian as an actor, but we know that he's not going to play the Merovingian.
We know that.
I mean, even if they don't get Lambert Wilson at this point, I would assume that by them having talks with him and him leaking it the way that he did, that it's not Neil Patrick Harris.
I gotcha. Because he's.
He was
If
cast
they're open to
before.
casting Lambert, then obviously he's not already cast as the Merovingian.
Right,
He's already on board. Okay,
exactly.
gotcha.
I almost want that to happen, though, just to see what that performance would be.
He could play Flood. I mean, he could. I
He
mean,
could be
he's got.
Flood. He
There
could.
are enough characters that are like
Yeah,
sarcastic
we need to do
that.
a follow-up video where we go in deep on all the characters, because I think we barely talked about Flood and Tyndall. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think just a couple of intros.
We
But,
went.
I doubt the little old lady in Iowa is going to be listening to our podcast, if she unless she played The Matrix Online.
I don't know. I think this podcast. I don't know about what you're. I've met people in the emulator who never played it before, but are still interested in The Matrix. Ideally, we're doing this for people who did not have the chance to play the game.
Well, and that's what I love about the work that we're doing here. I mean, I think, when you're talking about the internet and, I know you guys have had YouTube channels for a while, you never know who's going to fall into it and who's going to find it. So, yeah, I think that it's possible. I mean, it might not be a lot of people, but, I've plugged this podcast on some of my videos. So, who knows, 10 years from now, this might actually be like a Matrix canon study.
Not even 10 years, 2 years, man. If the movie is if the movie does in some way reference the events of Matrix Online, we've done our homework. We've done the internet's homework for them.
Yeah, the movie's only going to be 2 hours. We're covering all of these possible things that could explain the events in the movie that have these little backstory. We're still talking about part one and how Trinity wakes up Neo and revives him. So, and that's 20 years.
That's the best, though, when new pieces of story give you more to think about older pieces of story. That's still alive, that still has meaning.
So, anything else on this program that Cipherites and EPN have?
Are we ever told what it's supposed to do?
Well, and that's
I
the thing,
don't
because we're
know.
down into the, these are
The
the
what
posted
ifs.
notes, so yeah, we don't really know how it played out.
I guess it was something to stop the oligarchs or something, or to save Trinity. Or to resurrect the Oracle, maybe.
I was gonna say, I think the Oracle's resurrection might have something to do with it, possibly.
That said, I feel like even for someone with the kind of foresight she had to, maybe I shouldn't trust my life to getting these two groups to cooperate. Yeah, like I don't know. Again, we don't know the mechanics of how it works, but ideally, if it were just like a bun, like Seraph, if something happens.
Well, I mean, but to your point, I mean, the two halves of the program combined could be, the actual backup file for the Oracle.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be. And I mean, that's my first guess. Hey, before the end of the episode, I wanted to let you know about Project Matriculated. Lazarus is putting on a Matrix 4 release party on opening weekend. Now, due to the coronavirus, that's going to be a moving target, but it's going to be taking place in northern New Jersey, just outside of New York City. For more information, you can go to planetreg.com/matriculated, sign up for VIP access, and you'll get notifications on all updates. I'll also have that link in the show notes. And also, follow Lazarus at Neomatrixology on Twitter and YouTube.
If you hurt me, Seraph will know.